broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that which refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for Saturday, September the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We are in the Liberty Roundtable live. News the networks refuse to use. Weeks in review. And we're on Tuesday the 3rd. We covered a whole week last hour and Monday. Now we're on Tuesday the 3rd. We talked about Ben Swan's Truth in Media podcast launches. And, you know, Ben Swan's a great guy, a good friend that does some incredible investigative reporting. Reality Check is what he was known for on TV. Now he's launched a podcast as well, truthinmedia.com, to learn more. We talked about the Department of Justice declines to prosecute Comey despite finding that he broke the law and leaked information. Now, this is where Donald Trump is, I feel like, no different than any other president. The DOJ just runs amok, folks. The Department of Justice is just out of control. Look, they let James Comey go. All right, Barr is an insider, big time, a swamp monster, right? But they let Lois Lerner at the IRS go too. Both administrations literally doubled down in defense of Lois Lerner. The Barack Hussein administration and the Donald Trump administration both dismissed Lois Lerner from the IRS for her abuses of conservatives. Anyway, there you have it. I guess in Seattle, they got a bunch of human poop all over the sidewalks there from homeless folks, and they can't clean it off the sidewalks. Why? Because Democrat councilman, guy's name is Larry Gossett, he says the problem is pressure washers are racist. They bring back images of hoses being used against civil rights activists. And I think the guy's off his rocker, folks. We talked about an anonymous donor gifts $25 million to Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. That's a great news story. I hope they use the money wisely. We also talked about teenagers pushed a woman's car 5 miles to her home, CNN. Turns out she had a problem with her car, didn't know what to do. She was distraught. It was late at night. She was alone. And these incredible teenagers just said, hey, you know what, ma'am, we'll help you. She thought they weren't serious. She thought it wasn't feasible or possible, but they basically cranked up the tunes on somebody's phone. And they all just started pushing. A lot of fun, and 5 miles later, car was at her house. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pay it forward like these teenagers. I'm telling you right now, great news story. We also talked about how a 93-year-old couple created a legacy of love. Yeah, that's pretty neat stuff. We talked about a poor man had to spend 82 days in jail on, quote, meth charges. Problem is, the meth turned out to be honey. And that hits a little too close to home when one of our talk show hosts, Kirk Crosby, that joins me on the weekday broadcasts, when he's a local honey distributor. LocalHoneyMan.com to see his website, but he sells honey. Just imagine they bust him with some honey and say, hey, you got meth, and throw him in the clink. Turns out the meth was only honey. Incompetent, to say the least. I guess ex-Arizona lawman, we're talking about Joe Arpaio, Sheriff Joe, if you will, seeks to reclaim mantle as America's toughest sheriff. Well, I wish him success. I'll have to call Joe and see if he wants to come on the radio with us, huh? I guess a judge, an appeals judge was found dead behind his home. This is sad news, folks. I don't want anybody murdered, political opponents or not. By the way, we can't trust the fake news to cover 2020. Well, a lot of conservatives are saying that, but I disagree. Let anybody cover the 2020 news as they will. It's called freedom of speech, freedom of association. But you got to pay attention to who you believe will give you the truth on 2020. You got to decide who's going to be honest, The issue is honesty, right? You got to decide who's going to be honest and who's going to tell you the story, who's going to tell you the difference between fact and fiction, or sometimes fact and opinion. Who's going to stick to the who, what, when, where, why of a story? Who's going to put the story in constitutional context? Why? Because the Constitution is the supreme law of our land. That's why. Anyway, we talked to our guest, Patrick Simmons, National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation, righttowork.org. Patrick always does a phenomenal job with us. We talked about Mark Mix, the leader of righttowork.org, standing up to big labor on Labor Day. Great stuff from those guys. National Right to Work President urges voluntary, not coercive unionism on Labor Day 2019. Boy, do I agree with that. Our America must do more to protect the dignity of every American worker against the injustices of compulsory unionism. Amen to that. By the way, I covered a AT&T strike live in Alabama. I was on scene and recorded the interview, played it back on the radio. Phenomenal. And then with Mark, or with Patrick Simmons on the radio, we covered that story better than anybody. It was a 9-plus state AT&T big massive strike affecting the internet 9 states wide, a regional strike. We covered it, folks. We talked about the question, will interviews with federal agents be required to keep your firearms, is the question. I pray the answer is no, but I predict the answer is they're working on it. They want to create a social credit system. Now, the government determine your behavior, if it's good, bad, acceptable, unacceptable, et cetera, and then put real consequences to that, quote, social credit score. Look out, folks. It's a coming. Interview from federal agents might be part of that scoring mechanism, huh? Mike Pence does a great job and says the Bible stays. At a VA hospital facing a lawsuit, we will always respect the freedom of religion for every veteran of every faith, says Mike Pence. And boy, do I agree with him. We talked about a poor man who spent 36 years behind bars after stealing $50. I guess he only stole $50 in jail for 36 years. They say we've been just praying and trusting in God this day would come. Boy, howdy. I don't understand how we ever got here in America. Nevertheless, this guy stole $50. Now, I think they should have made him pay back the $50. I think they should have made him done a bunch of community service and let him go. But you know what? I don't believe most people who are criminals or who are guilty of a criminal offense belong behind bars. I get the super violent, the rapists, the murderers, but I believe that a few need to be. I understand. But oftentimes, the cases aren't as cut and dry as you think either. But it's really expensive to keep people behind bars, and we're one of the nations that lock people up more than any other nation in the world. And there's got to be a better way, folks. There just is a better, less expensive way. We got to find ways to put these people to work. Union bosses are fearing workers will stick with President Donald Trump. It's a serious problem, they say. And my response is, why? What if the workers think Donald's doing a good job? Do they have the right to think and feel and believe that way if they want to? Not according to the forced union folks, they don't. Wow. Joe Biden vows to be champion for unions, but he worked to offshore their jobs for decades, and so the unions are thinking he's disingenuous. All right. We talked about an incredible article written by a gal by the name of Penny Starr doing a great job. Donald Trump is right about mental illness in mass shootings. He's right. There's a lot of mental illness going on. The problem is they're going to use that mental illness loophole to back into taking away everybody's guns. This social credit score titled Mental Illness Discussions. What if you believe the founding fathers are heroes? They'll claim you're mentally ill, living in the past, right? Donald Trump's tightened labor market wins dreams jobs for disabled Americans. So there's so many jobs, even people with disabilities are getting jobs now. It's great news, in my opinion. We talked about the Cajun Navy gearing up to respond to Hurricane Dorian. And you ask, what on earth is the Cajun Navy, Sam? The Cajun Navy is a group of people that got together in the South that actually have boats and such. And they're just saying, hey, you know what? We're going to get together and help out. We're going to use our boats as rescue vehicles, use our boats as safety vehicles, you know, use our boats to distribute supplies, humanitarian vehicles. And so they just, they're nicknamed the Cajun Navy. And I'm telling you, they're a tremendous, tremendous group of people. Men and women who are standing shoulder to shoulder to bring relief in disaster zones like hurricanes and floods and such like that. Just tremendous, tremendous work. And we've followed these people for quite some time, and we're really pleased with their volunteer efforts. It's just tremendous. The Cajun Navy, baby. We like to highlight those news stories when we get them because we just don't get that stuff enough, right? All right, we're up to Wednesday the 4th. We talked about Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey. I guess the poor guy got his account hacked and compromised, and I guess the account posted racial slurs. And at first glance, I thought this might be a fake news story, and I said so at the time. But I kind of think a little differently now because I've studied a little bit behind the scenes how he got hacked and what happened about the hack. And it's kind of a long story, but I'll give it to you this way. As far as I understand, you're able to hack people's phones now. And the way they hack people's phones, it gives them access to all kinds of stuff instantly because it's a master hack. And it's called the SIM card hack. And what they do is they swap SIM cards, not physically, but connectivity-wise. And so I can either call in and do what's called pretexting and convince somebody to swap or put somebody's phone number on my SIM card. Or I can have an employee of the phone company do that on my behalf. I'll explain. Hang tight. This is fascinating news the networks refuse to use. And this is Liberty Roundtable Live. I'm Sam Bushman.
Dad, can you make him stop?
Honey, he needs to practice.
He's been at it an hour.
Well, just trying to be patient.
Dad, it sounds like a cat calling for help or something.
Worse, a basement full of cats.
Yeah.
You know, hon, it is a little hard on the ears.
Not you, too.
Well, maybe we can all play a game. Andrew, do you want to play a board game? How about we watch a video? Hide and seek? Oh, I don't know, I give up.
Maybe we could all just sneak out of the house.
Honey, he's 9 years old. We can't leave him home alone.
Man.
We can make him practice with a sock.
Well, I guess we'll have to get some ice cream.
Did I hear someone say ice cream?
Family, isn't it about time?
Oh, I see the practice hasn't hurt your ears.
Well, I'm a serious musician.
Funny that you never seem to get better on that thing.
Works every time.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, where'd all these cats come from?
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, Sam Bushman live on your radio. We're talking about Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter. He got his own Twitter account hacked. And I guess they post racial stuff and everything else on there. And at first, I didn't believe it because I'm like, this is fake news. I don't see how that gets hacked and all they do is post racial stuff. But I think I know maybe how it got hacked now, and I think it might be a little different ballgame than we think. And that is that there's what's called a SIM card hack. You say, what's a SIM card, Sam? It's a little chip in your cell phone that ties it to your number. And to the carrier, right? The SIM card does more than that, but for simplicity's sake, I'm just going to say it's a little chip that ties your number to your carrier and what tells your phone what number to use on that carrier, right? So, hey, you're with Verizon, and here's your phone number. All right? And the SIM card stores a bunch of other information than just that, but that's the core of what it is and what it does. Well, there's a SIM card hack that takes place, and here's what happens. I either call and do what's called pretexting, which means I call up, and I'm very good at talking to people, and I con the gal on the other end of the line. Hey, can you update my phone number on this? I got a new phone, or I make up some excuse, and I get her to put the number, move it to my phone. So if I'm hacking Jack Dorsey, then I would basically con the representative to put Jack Dorsey's number, move it from his phone to my phone. Once I have that done, even if I only get it done for a little bit of time before they catch it and move it back or whatever the case may be, I now can deal with two-factor authentication. I can say, wait a minute, go to Google or go here or go there, go to all these websites, banking sites, and everything else, and say, you know what, reset my password. And then I get the code. And if I have a password from previous hacking or whatever else, now I can, with two-factor authentication, change and do all kind of things. So pretty soon I can log in and then change the password. And now I've logged into Jack Dorsey's Twitter account and I've changed the password. He can't even get into his own account. And now he finds out, oh my gosh, 2 days later, I'm not getting any phone calls, or a day later, what the heck's going on around here? Well, that's one way, by pretexting or by conning somebody into doing this for you unwittingly or not realizing. The other way is I can literally get in bed with employees at cell phone companies and have them literally behind the scenes change these for me. And what oftentimes they might do is in the middle of the night, for example, change the SIM card, do a swap, not physically change the card, but change the information on the card, virtually speaking, via the network. I can change it. You can get a bunch of passwords on a bunch of other services changed, and then I can change it back. And if it happens in the middle of the night, you might not even know it occurred. But yet I've got access to all your stuff now because that second level of authentication has been compromised. And then now I can lock you out of other things. Anyway, it's a big, big, big modern scandal. And it's happening, and it's been happening for a while now, but it's gaining, quote, steam. The freight train of SIM card swapping is at the helm. And it's a bigger and bigger problem than most people think. The problem is these cell carriers aren't doing much to stop it. Now, they put a code in place. But a code in place doesn't matter too much. Especially if you get back-end workers, employees of the cell phone companies that are doing the swaps. Anyway, there needs to be a ramp up in security. But technology has certainly surpassed our ability to handle it legally and otherwise. It's a tragedy, but that's how that scandal works. I thought I'd just double down and give you a little bit of Intel IT on that. Hopefully putting it on the kitchen table where you can understand it and get your arms around it, right? Sad for Donald Trump. On one hand, he wanted to pull out of Afghanistan. But now Donald Trump says we will always have a presence there. Trump says 8,600 troops will stay in Afghanistan. Shame on you, Donald. We don't need endless perpetual war, Donald. And if you say, well, Sam, that's not very many, 8,600 people. Come on. Yeah, but how many countries are we in militarily around the world? Just so you know, it's 130-plus nations militarily right now. How many troops do we have in each one? I don't know. But if you have 8,000 troops in every country, you're talking about almost 1 million troops, folks. We don't need to have a standing army in America or anywhere else in the world for more than 2 years. Go look at your supreme law. Okay, why are we having troops around the world in 130-plus nations militarily, but we struggle to protect our own border and our own nation? Anyway, Donald did great on the campaign trail and said we're going to back out of a lot of these wars and foreign entanglements. And when he gets in office, though, he changes his tune because he's surrounded by too many military hawkish folks that want war. Sad tale to tell, Donald. But see, we're having problems in America, though, because the cops are becoming some of the greatest predators. You don't believe me? How about the Amazon Smart Doorbell Company? I guess it partnered with 400 police departments to survey your neighborhood. You comfortable with that? They're calling it the modern day neighborhood watch now. But I don't want everything under surveillance. Okay, they want to take away my gun so I can't defend myself, but then they want to surveil everybody? It's a shame, folks. It's disaster. I don't trust Amazon. I don't trust your government. I don't trust all those police departments. And I don't trust everybody recording everything all the time. For several reasons. You say, well, Sam, what do you got to hide? You're not doing anything wrong. Because video doesn't always tell the story. Video misses a lot of what really happens and gives you a false impression oftentimes. It only shows one angle or one perspective or part of the discussion or part of what really happened. Or you only see part, you know, you see a... somebody shooting, and well, this person did shoot. The video proves it. Well, the why did they shoot might be the question. Well, because they thought it was an intruder in their home and it turned out to be a cop or, you know, the cop. Who knows? Hey, I was trying to defend the police officer, but it may not look like it on the video. And who's who? And, you know, you only get part of the story, folks. Not to mention there's what's called fake videos now. They call them deep fake. And a deep fake is when you can literally make a video that pretends to do and say and be something that it is clearly not. They can take my, quote, likeness and words that I've said on the radio, and they can literally put it all together, and you can't tell that it's not real. But it's a deep fake. It's a video of me. They're doing it with women and porn and everything else these days. Don't think video is going to be your solution, because it's not. I guess the mainstream media is now crying foul. They've doxxed us, and they've attacked us, and they've maligned us and created libel and slander against us so long. Now conservatives are turning the smear tactics of the mainstream press in the culture war against them, and the mainstream press is freaking out. They don't know what to do. For example, apologies are not enough. Eric Trump threatening to sue MSNBC and host over what's called Russian loan smear. You say, what's that? Well, this host over there, MSNBC, said, you know, hey, the Trump family got a bunch of loans from Russia. And then the host had to back away because Donald Trump Jr. threatened to sue. Eric Trump threatened to sue and said, hey, this is bogus, fake news. And the reporter backed away and apologized. And now Eric Trump's saying, your apology may not even be enough. You just can't do this stuff. Well, we see it happening all over the place. Another example is Chris McDonald and Mark Taylor did a broadcast together. And they agreed that they believe Hurricane Dorian is a false flag. Well, Kyle Mantilla wrote an article about it in, I don't know what it is, Right Wing Watch or one of those. And just attacked these guys as conspiracy theorists, as da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, the problem with that is, when do you have the right to your opinion? Versus when are you just maligned and your character is just besmirched on the internet by some of these liberal news organizations? See, that's the problem. Can you believe that Dorian is a false flag if you want to? I think you can. I think that instead of, you know, attacking these guys as conspiracy nuts or whatever else, all you got to do is politely say, where's the evidence for your viewpoints? If you want to have your viewpoints without any evidence, you can call them your opinions. That's commentary. If you can back it up with evidence, it might become news, right? But nevertheless, we don't need to attack and destroy and malign them and abuse everyone over this. So shame on the Right Wing Watch folks and this Mantilla guy. The problem is the U.S. is now talking about unleashing the military to fight fake news and disinformation. But believe it or not, governments around the world have been the greatest sources of disinformation and fake news anywhere in the world. So it scares the heck out of me if we're going to say we're going to have the government or the military to decide what's real and fake news. InfoWars, believe it or not, lost appeal in the Sandy Hook defamation lawsuit. Now, I'm of the opinion, I'm not here to attack or abuse Alex Jones. I'm here to say, you know, I believe a lot of the claims Alex Jones made about the Sandy Hook shootings could not be proven. Therefore, I think he's out on a limb. He's entitled to his opinion. But when he pitches that news as fact, that's where the problems start. We need to be very careful to separate opinion from fact. And we need to also separate circumstantial evidence from real hard evidence. There's a big difference in those two things. I agree that journalism does not rise to the level of convictions in courts, et cetera, but I will say we need to be very careful. I don't agree with Alex Jones exactly on Sandy Hook, but he has every right to say what he wants to, except for when he crosses the line, libel and slander. And I think the mainstream press has done that a lot. And I think the military and the government of the United States has done that a ton. All right. We're going to talk about our guest, Becky Akers. She was with us as well. Incredible author, by the way. She wrote two books, one called Hailstorm about Nathan Hale, one of the greatest patriots America has ever known, and Abducting Arnold, the other side of the Benedict Arnold story you probably haven't heard. Incredible new novels. Buy them before they're banned. Becky Akers. Look for them by name. Quick pause. I'll tell you more in seconds. Sam Bushman on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Dorian is now heading toward eastern Canada. It's now a Category 1 hurricane, generating sustained winds at 90 miles per hour. Tropical storm conditions are expected to spread into Maine this afternoon. Earlier, over coastal North Carolina, Dorian wreaked havoc on the Outer Banks. Benny Lax is on Ocracoke Island.
The water levels rose so fast, literally, I would say within 30 minutes, we had 4 feet of water, and it just kept rising.
There was a storm surge of up to 4 feet there. While Dorian was a Category 5, it was the strongest and slowest hurricane to ever batter the Bahamas. On Abaco Island, many are waiting to be evacuated. This woman was waiting to be evacuated to Nassau with her children.
I don't have nothing but me and my kids.
The death toll in the Bahamas is 43, with thousands of people still unaccounted for. This is USA Radio News.
This is sponsored by Facebook. Facebook is expanding its new local alert tool nationally by the end of the year. Local alerts enables local governments and first responders to communicate urgent information when it directly affects people in their community or requires them to take action, such as road closures, blackouts, or natural disasters. Jimmy O'Keefe is the product marketing manager at Facebook.
When authorities mark posts as local alerts, Facebook greatly amplifies their reach so that people living in an affected community are more likely to see them. Facebook sends notifications to people living in the affected area and also shows that information on Today In, a new place on Facebook for local news, community information, and conversations between neighbors.
Over the past year, information officers from over 350 local governments have used local alerts in a range of everyday emergencies, including flash flood warnings, mandatory evacuations, and 911 outages. For more, visit facebook.com/help/publisher/local alerts.
Sears is laying off about 250 employees at its headquarters. They emerged from bankruptcy in February and said they don't plan to close completely, but they will start to implement a permanent workforce reduction beginning October 28th. Sears spokesman Larry Costello said affected employees were put on paid leave last week, and there's no additional action planned at this time. In Santa Barbara, California, there was a vigil to remember the 34 people who died on the dive boat that caught fire at the beginning of the week. They're still looking for one of the victims.
The remains of that person do remain outstanding. We have 33 of the 34 victims recovered.
Bill Brown is the Santa Barbara County Sheriff. DNA testing has identified more than half of the bodies recovered. There are reports that the Conception didn't have a roving night watchman. The Coast Guard's Monica Rochester says that's a violation.
The certificate of inspection articulated that there was a roving watch required for that vessel.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, I'm Sam Bushman. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues. I'm telling you right now, we're in the hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, weeks in review. Covering the broadcast we did over the last couple of weeks, man, tremendous talk radio. I'll tell you that right now. We're talking about our guest, Becky Akers, well-known author. She writes about how abusive the TSA is in articles all across the country in several publications. But she's also an author. She's written two incredible novels, Hailstorm, about Nathan Hale, one of the greatest patriots ever known, and Abducting Arnold, the other side of the Benedict Arnold story, revolutionary new novels. Buy them before they're banned today. Search for them by name, Becky Akers. We also talked about the University of Kansas faculty wants what they call Bastion of Bigotry Chick-fil-A banned from campus. Now, here's the problem. Bastion of Bigotry? Wow. You know, there's free speech, then there's libel and slander. How is Chick-fil-A a bastion of bigotry? Because they believe in traditional marriage? Because they believe in Christian values? Because they're closed on Sundays? I mean, what is the bastion of bigotry about Chick-fil-A? Chick-fil-A is one of the most welcoming, open, kind employers and companies ever. When you go there, everybody's polite. They're like, please and thank you and my pleasure. And they're kind. They employ the disabled. They back Christian principles. I don't see that it's racial. I see all kinds of races working together in Chick-fil-A's, right? I don't know what they're talking about. But this is where I say we cross the line. We can disagree. You might not like Chick-fil-A. In fact, Becky, who is with us, isn't a fan of Chick-fil-A necessarily. She agrees with the good things they do, but she's just not a fan of fast food. Well, we can agree to disagree. But calling them a bastion of bigotry? At some point, starts to harm their corporate name if enough big media do it, right? It's not honest. Well, Walmart's going to stop selling some ammo. Now, I disagree with Walmart doing that. That's my opinion. I think they ought to sell ammunition, but they have every right not to if they want to. As a company, they can do what they want to. But here's the problem. You know, do I want to create labels and terms that go beyond disagreement and attack Walmart in very hostile ways? You know, should I call them communists who won't sell ammo? Or what? Okay, when does it go too far? I think that's a battle that we're all facing in our society today. Donald Trump oftentimes goes too far. Many people in the mainstream press go way too far, in my humble opinion. For example, HBO producer, a guy's name is David Simons, he asks God to wipe out Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago in Florida with Hurricane Dorian. See, I personally think that's going too far. I don't want any harm to come to private property. I don't care who owns it. I don't want any harm to come to people. I want people to change their minds and their hearts, and I want Sauls to become Pauls, if you will. If you don't understand that biblical reference, try the New Testament. It might help you out. A man got arrested at a public library. The arrest is mind-boggling, according to WorldNet Daily. A guy's a pastor, a Christian, and he fights back. He says criminal charges pose a serious threat to free speech. I guess they're having drag queens do story time in the libraries across the country. Drag queens are men dressed up like women, right? And they're putting little children on their laps and reading sexy stories and stuff like this. Well, a Christian pastor went in there and saw that happening and went, whoa, wait a minute. I don't want that. Well, guess who got arrested? The Christian pastor did, not the drag queen. Well, this promotion of this drag generational blurring reality is all over the place in America today. In fact, there's Drag Race. It's a TV show. Are you familiar with it? Well, the question is what it means to the teen girls who love it. Drag queens are changing the world and young women can't stop watching it, says the Huffington Post. Even straight girls love it. The problem is it's changing our views on gender. It is being backed by your tax dollars in government libraries. A pastor complains about this, putting children in harm's way, and they literally double down against the Christian pastor who's worried about it. I mean, this stuff is sick, folks. In fact, an article was written by David Kapilian of WorldNet Daily. Headline says, Hurting Kids, How the Left is Destroying a Generation. David Kapilian. Great article, by the way. Anyway, we talked about all that with Becky Akers on Wednesday. Now we're up to Thursday, the 5th of September. We had our guest on, Mr. Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com. Over the past 50 years, Rust Coin has been working to educate customers about precious metals. RustCoinAndGift.com. We talked about our Honest Money report. Gold's at $1,536. Silver's at $19.27, up quite a bit. Or the dollar's dropped quite a bit, whatever you want to call it. But we talk about the tricky task of weakening the dollar using the, quote, exchange stabilization fund. Did you know we had one of those? I kid you not, it's an exchange stabilization fund, a vehicle under the control of the Treasury Secretary with about $100 billion of buying power to it, okay? And they say unless Congress gives the Treasury authority to, quote, beef up the exchange stabilization fund, it just doesn't have enough firepower to manipulate and control or weaken the dollar. I kid you not. That's Joseph Gagman. He's senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Now, Ron Paul says, forget the Russians. It's the Federal Reserve seeking to tamper with federal elections. And Alan Greenspan says it's only a matter of time till negative rates spread to the United States because the economy's in trouble. But the question is, why do tariffs terrify the GOP? Patrick Buchanan writes the article. And he highlights this reality the TPP, that's Trade Advocates, Karl Rove, and Paul Ryan march in lockstep against Donald Trump's populist tariffs. So you got all kind of stuff going on economically, but the issue is honesty every time. I mean, these people are dishonest in the media big time about honest money, about constitutional currency, about the supreme law of our land. And Donald Trump wants a weaker dollar, but it's a hard sell, according to Reuters. I don't know why Donald Trump would want to weaken the dollar in the first place. But what is the U.S. dollar? I don't know if you know this, but the United States Treasury right now is pumping out silver, Eagle silver dollars. There's a 2019 version, and right on the face of it, it says $1. But I don't know if you know, but it costs 20 Federal Reserve notes to buy one of these things. So the Federal Reserve note says $1, and the silver, Eagle silver dollar minted by the Treasury says $1. I'm saying, will the real dollar stand up? If one costs 20 of the other to get, which one's the real dollar? And the answer is the constitutional currency, and you've been lied to with the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve, they claim, has independence, but Congress is supposed to be responsible for the regulation of our money, not some private banking cartel. The Federal Reserve is not even federal, folks. It's a private banking cartel. Okay, well, Donald's not exposing the truth on this, but somebody needs to. Might as well be me, huh? You don't believe me? Go look it up. Go study what I'm talking about. You'll find out the truth. There's a book about it called Creature from Jekyll Island. There's another book about it called Pieces of Eight, if you want a little bit of a, you know, study material there. I'll just give you about 1,000 pages of study material. How's that? Another book about it's called The Shadows of Power. Donald Trump to impose social credit score to own a gun, Apple Watches, Echo devices, Google Home, all these things that basically collect info on you and build your social credit score. The Washington Post reported that the proposal is part of an initiative to create what they call a Health Advanced Research Projects Agency, also known as HARPA. And the agency would have a separate budget and a director appointed by the President of the United States. It would be located inside of the Health and Human Services Department, the Post reported, citing administration sources. This is something Donald's literally working on. Shame on Donald. Shame on Donald Trump. What is he thinking, ladies and gentlemen? How dare Donald Trump think about creating a social credit score for all of us based on our behavior? Do you have violent tendencies? Do you? Okay. Well, look, what about Donald Trump's behavior? When he's literally mocking people for their looks. He's running around and mocking people for their heritage. He's running around in people's face and demeaning people left and right. Donald's behavior on a social credit score would melt down. I don't know what he's thinking or what he's talking about. Wow. All right, we had a guest by the name of Joe Bannister. He's a highly decorated former IRS agent. He's a former criminal investigator for the IRS. Of one of the most feared agencies in the United States, that is the IRS. He created a website called agentfortruth.com. He stands for freedom above fortune, but at agentfortruth.com, it's spelled out F-O-R, agentfortruth.com. He talks about his incredible new book, Investigating the Federal Income Tax, a report to the American people. I've got details in seconds.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Only one more segment left. Sam Bushman, hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. Weeks in Review broadcast. We're talking about our guest Joe Bannister, well-known criminal investigator for the IRS, agent for truth.com. He finds out the IRS is bogus of the criminal enterprise. He rejects it, gets fired. Agent for truth.com spends the last 20 years writing a book. 20 years in the making, Joe Bannister's new book, Investigating the Federal Income Tax, a report to the American people, breaking it down just for us. Bottom line summary, the IRS is a fraud, folks. I sure would Donald Trump would speak out against it, huh? But anyway, great job by Joe Bannister. A bold man for truth. A true Christian family man that wants accountability in rogue agents in government. Boy, howdy. We talked about Marianne Williamson, a very well-known actress or whatever. I didn't think the left lied like this, she said. A lot of people are waking up to the abuses of the IRS, the abuses of the Justice Department. It's certainly not justice. People waking up to the rogue elements in government, folks. Good news, Ammon Bundy was denied a gun based on a background check, but now Ammon Bundy says, hey, the FBI has reversed its decision. After background checks, and okay is Ammon Bundy's AR-15 purchase. That's good news. That's good news because the government has no authority or right to stop Ammon from his right to keep and bear arms. Ammon Bundy's not guilty of any criminal activity. The only people in Ammon Bundy's case guilty of criminal activity, according to the judge, is the government officials. The people at the FBI, the people at the Justice Department, the people at the BATFE. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, right? Those are the criminals, said the judge in Nevada. They tased the peaceful attorney, Marcus Mumford, of the courtroom in Oregon. I mean, the government's on the hardcore aggressive. And it's rogue agents that don't need to be stopped. But I asked the wise question on Friday's broadcast, that's yesterday, when we talked to Ken Cromar. Ken and Barb Cromar family attacked by the IRS rogue government officials. Violate due process and steal their home. We had on Ken Cromar and then Richard Mack, former sheriff, CSPOA.org. And we talked about rogue agents in government double down, engage in criminal activity. Well, that's going on for sure. But I asked Sheriff Richard Mack and Ken Cromar and Kirk Crosby on that broadcast yesterday with all four of us. I said, you know, we're talking about rogue agents in government, right? But when do rogue agents in government become the norm? Or when do rogue agents in government hold the rest of the good guys hostage to the point where the whole thing becomes rogue and the good guys are sidelined? And I think that's what's happening in our government right now. Secret combinations are above us all. And the only way to stop it is to turn to God and to self-govern and live God-ordained lives or God-protected lives. How do we receive protected lives or ordained lives from God? We do what he asks and keep his commandments on an individual and a family basis. Society will be great if individuals and families obey God's laws. I digress, except to say this. We got to make sure the good guys stand up because the rogue agents are look, the FBI's got a bad name now. And all I hear about the FBI is they're abusing and lying about Ammon Bundy to the point where the judge throws out the case. I hear about FBI agents in foreign nations literally fraternizing with prostitutes and drugs and alcohol and classified data is getting stolen. I hear about Lois Lerner turning the IRS apparatus against the American people and attacking conservatives. I hear Hillary Clinton violating classified information and leaking information all over. I hear James Comey and others not being prosecuted, but they're abusing people. Lois Lerner not prosecuted, but abusing people. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. Barack Obama and crew literally spied on Donald Trump illegally. No accountability. I mean, the rogue agents of government are getting away with everything. It's amazing. But the question is, when does it kind of go rogue? When do we get a situation where it's like, you know what, the rogue seems to be maybe the few holding the many hostage, but when does it kind of take over and the tables turn? I don't know the answer. And I don't think we're there yet, but I think we're approaching that day. And I think what it's going to require to stop that is for good men to do something, for good people to stand up. Ken Cromar and his family, for instance, these poor people have experienced a beating. It's not even a criminal issue. It's a civil matter. And the IRS has been sued by Ken Cromar. And there's a battle in the courts. But the problem is Ken has not received due process of law. He's never had a hearing. And they've literally come in with armed thug agents and taken his home. He's now homeless, folks. And now on Tuesday, they're going to put his home on the auction block. They're going to auction that sucker off on the county steps. This is unacceptable in a civil matter. The IRS says Ken owes a bunch of IRS money. Ken says, no, I don't. They say, yes, you do. How do you answer to these charges? Guilty or not guilty? What do you plea? And Ken says, what charges? And they aren't willing to tell him the charges. Then he says, well, I haven't had a hearing. I haven't had my day in court. And they're saying, we already gave you your hearing. Well, it all depends on what's a hearing. Well, they didn't say we gave you a hearing. What they said is we afforded you due process. Ken's saying without a hearing, that's not due process. And so due process is, you know, is it a codified term defined by the courts that's yes, you received due process or no, you didn't? Or is it this nebulous, we already gave it to you idea? Well, that's the battle. Well, Ken Cromar's working on incredible movies. He's a filmmaker. And he created a film about miracles. It's called Miracles in God We Trust. And so if you want to help Ken Cromar with his homeless problem due to the IRS abuse, miraclesingodwetrust.com is the website, just like it sounds, miraclesingodwetrust.com, because that's the name of his film. And as far as I understand, his film is available to watch. It's tremendous. I've watched it. It's a great, great, great movie. We also say check out irszoom.com, because irszoom.com has a lot of information on how to deal with the IRS. We talked about the Obama Justice Department let Lois Lerner off the hook. But even Donald Trump's DOJ won't pursue criminal charges against Lois Lerner. Lois Lerner's the lady, if you remember, many years ago, that was at the helm of the IRS when the IRS was literally attacking conservative organizations and got caught doing it. But again, no accountability, right? So an article was written by the Wall Street Journal talking about this. The headline says, How Lois Lerner Got a Pass. Wall Street Journal. How Lois Lerner Got a Pass, Wall Street Journal. This is what I'm talking about. The criminals are all running around free. And rogue agents in government, they might be the few, but as long as the many do nothing and don't stand up, the few are in charge of the hen house. It is tragic. And when does the whole system go rogue by not routing out the wickedness among them, by not stopping the secret combinations? When there's criminal activity, we got to hold people accountable. And if we don't, eventually the criminals will get above the rest of us. How far along in that process are we? I don't know. I don't want to speculate. I just know that we better stand up. Good people better stand up in the culture war for God, family, and country. We better stand up to protect life, liberty, and property. We better stand up morally in the culture war. We better return to our God, to our family, to our country. We better do these things or we're going to lose it all. And it's going to be a dark day in America. But strange bedfellows, you got Ken Cromar fighting the federal government, but you also have the Council on American Islamic Relations. They scored a big court victory on Thursday, with a federal judge ruling that the FBI's terror watch list violates the Constitution. Well, we told you that for a long time. Judge Anthony Trenka of the Eastern District of Virginia was the judge, and he ruled in favor of 23 Muslim Americans who filed a lawsuit. And the lawsuit claimed that their inclusion on the terrorism screening database violated their due process. And it's right. The database is called the TSDB, but these 23 Muslim Americans said, look, you're violating our due process. Trenka, that's the judge, wrote in his 32-page opinion that the watch list was too vague and infringed on the plaintiff's ability to fly and participate in other activities. So the judge doubled down and agreed that the government's out of control here. The federal judge also agreed with the plaintiffs that the process for putting people on this government watch list was without proper methodology. An individual's placement into the government watch list does not even require any evidence that the person engaged in criminal activity, committed a crime, or will commit a crime in the future, the judge wrote. RTSDB, that's the database we're talking about here, is not to be confused with the no-fly list. That's a different and a more restrictive list that allows people or denies people from flying on airplanes. So now they're blatantly admitting you got two government lists they're keeping unconstitutionally, right? I mean, it's judge, jury, and executioner. People are innocent until proven guilty. But these lists, they don't have any proper methodology, says the judge. They're unconstitutional, says the judge. Are people on the TSDB? They can be restricted from entering or leaving the United States, though. So without due process of law, these people can't leave or enter the United States. I mean, it is a travesty, folks. The Muslims sued, and believe it or not, I agree with the Muslims on this one. Okay? They're right. It is unconstitutional. These are citizens that happen to believe in the what? Islamic religion? They have the right to their thoughts, their opinions, their beliefs, right? If they haven't committed a crime or done anything violent, or they've got constitutional due process protection, don't they? At least they should. So I commend these Muslims for standing up, and I think we need to stand up big time as well. All right, Ocasio Cortez is in the news for two reasons, and I'll just highlight these really quick. She says, I block people over harassment, not political views. Well, she's blocking people on Twitter, just like Donald Trump wanted to do, right? But a group is blasting her for unconstitutional Twitter behavior. I don't know that it's unconstitutional Twitter behavior necessarily. But I find that interesting, right? I find that very interesting indeed. Can Ocasio-Cortez just block who she wants? I don't think it's unconstitutional for her to block people. Okay. She also worried that ancient glaciers, melting glaciers, could release ancient diseases as she, you know, kind of talks about the environment or whatever else, that the global warming and the controlling all of us stuff. Anyway, very interesting. But Ocasio-Cortez being accused of this unconstitutional behavior, I think she should be able to block who she wants. Just because you become a public official, that doesn't mean you lose your rights to choose as you will. And if somebody's harassing you, you have the right to block them, don't you? Is it true that she doesn't do so on political opinions? We certainly can keep an eye on that ball. I'll tell you that right now. By the way, that's 2 hours in the can of hard-hitting talk. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. Always at your fingertips on Liberty Roundtable, right? Thanks for being alongside for the ride. We are live 6 days a week, 2 hours a day. Our website for live and on-demand radio free is libertyroundtable.com. Our goal to promote God, family, and country and protect life, liberty, and property and do so in the traditions of our founding fathers. We believe we can reject revolution and stand for peaceful restoration. The question left is, will you help us? If you believe we provide valuable news the networks refuse to use in commentary, please reciprocate and donate today at libertyroundtable.com. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic, but you got to get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right, will you? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.